Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn. Continued. Cassette number 8, side 1. I expect them to welcome us with open crossbows, Mara retorted. There are two different native species here, the Sadans and the Minirshi. Neither of them had any great love of humans even before the Empire moved in on Mount Tantus. Well, at least they won't be on the Empire's side, Lando said. That's not likely to be a lot of comfort, Mara growled. And whatever trouble they don't give us, the usual range of predators will. We'll be lucky to make it in 12 or 13 days, not 8 or 9. Han looked out at the forest, and as he did, something caught his eye. Something more than a little disturbing. So, we'll figure on 12, he said. Suddenly, it was critical that they make tracks away from here. Let's get to it. Lando, Mara, you get the equipment pack sorted out for carrying. Chewie, go pull all the ration boxes out of the survival packs. That ought to do us for extra food. Luke, you and the droids head that way, he pointed, and see what you can find in the way of a path, maybe a dry creek bed. We ought to be close enough to the mountain to have some of those around. Certainly, sir, 3PO said brightly, starting down the ramp. Come, R2. There was a muttering of acknowledgement, and the others headed into the ship. Han started toward the ramp, stopped as Luke put a hand on his arm. What's wrong? He asked quietly. Han jerked his head back toward the forest. Those Geralds that were watching us, they're gone. Luke looked back. Did they all leave together? I don't know. I didn't see them go. Luke fingered his lightsaber. You think it's an Imperial patrol? Or else a flock of those prey animals Mara mentioned. You getting anything? Luke took a deep breath, held it a moment, then slowly let it out. I don't sense anyone else nearby, he said. But they could just be out of range. You think we should abort the mission? Han shook his head. If we do, we'll lose our best shot at the place. Once they know we've found their clone factory, there won't be any point in pretending they're just some overlooked backwoods system anymore. By the time we got back with a strike force, they'd have a couple of Star Destroyer fleets waiting for us. Luke grimaced. I suppose so. And you're right. If they track the Falcon in, the sooner we get away from it, the better. Are you going to send the coordinates back to Coruscant before we go? I don't know. Han looked up at the Falcon looming above him, trying not to think about the Imperials getting their grubby little hands on it again. If that's a patrol out there, we'll never get the transmitter tuned tight enough to slide a message past them. Not the way it's been acting up lately. Luke glanced up, too. Sounds risky, he said. If we get into trouble, they won't have any idea where to send a follow-up strike force. Yeah. Well, if we transmit through an Imperial patrol, I can guarantee that trouble, Han growled. I'm open to suggestions. How about if I stay behind for a few hours, Luke suggested. If no patrols have shown up by then, it should be safe to transmit. Forget it. Han shook his head. You'd have to travel alone, and there's a better than even chance you wouldn't even be able to find us. I'm willing to risk it. I'm not, Han said bluntly. And besides, every time you go off alone, you wind up getting me in trouble. Luke smiled ruefully. It does seem that way sometimes. Bet on it, Han told him. Come on, we're wasting time. Get out there and find us a path. All right, Luke said with a sigh. But he didn't sound all that upset. Maybe he'd known all along that it wasn't a very smart idea. Come on, 3PO, R2, let's go. The first hour was the hardest. The vague, path-like trail our two had found dead-ended into a mass of thorn bushes after less than 100 meters, forcing them to push a path of their own through the dense undergrowth. In the process, they disturbed more than plant life, and wound up spending several tense minutes shooting at a nest of six-legged, half-meter-long creatures that swarmed out, biting and clawing at them. Fortunately, the claws and teeth were designed for much smaller game, and aside from a nicely matched set of tooth dents in 3PO's left leg, no one suffered any damage before they could be driven away. 3PO moaned more about that than either the incident or the damage really deserved, the noise possibly attracting the brown-scaled animal that attacked a few minutes later. Han's quick blaster shot failed to stop the animal, and Luke had to use his lightsaber to cut it off 3PO's arm. The droid was even more inclined to moan after that, and Han was threatening to shut him down and leave him for the scavengers when they unexpectedly hit one of the dry creek beds they'd been hoping to find. With the easier terrain and with no further animal attacks to slow them down, they made much better speed. And by the time the leaf canopy overhead began to darken with nightfall, they'd made nearly 10 kilometers. "Brings back such wonderful memories, doesn't it?" Mara commented sarcastically as she got out of her backpack and dropped it beside one of the small bushes lining the creek bed. "Just like back on Mirker," Luke agreed, using his lightsaber to cut away another of the thorn bushes they'd become all too familiar with in the past few hours. "You know, I never did find out what happened after we left." "About what you'd expect," Mara told him. "We cleared out about 2 steps ahead of Thrawn's AT-ATs, and then nearly got caught anyway when Carda insisted on hanging around to watch." "Is that why you're helping us?" he asked her. "Because Thrawn's put a death mark on Carda?" "Let's get one thing clear right now, Skywalker," she growled. "I work for Carda, and Carda has already said that we're staying neutral in this war of yours. The only reason I'm here is because I know a little about the Clone Wars era and don't want to see a bunch of cold-faced duplicates trying to overrun the galaxy again. The only reason you're here is that I can't shut the place down by myself." "I understand," Luke said, cutting a second thorn bush and closing down his lightsaber. Reaching out with the Force, he lifted the 2 bushes off the ground and lowered them into the creek bed. "Well, it won't stop anything that's really determined to get at us," he decided, studying the makeshift barrier, "but it should at least slow them down." "For whatever that's worth," Mara said, pulling out a ration bar and stripping off the wrapping. "Let's just hope this isn't one of those lucky places where all the really big predators come out at night. Hopefully, our 2 sensors can spot them before they get too close," Luke told her. Igniting his lightsaber again, he cut 2 more thorn bushes for good measure. And he was preparing to shut it down when he caught the subtle change in Mara's sense. He turned to find her staring at his lightsaber, ration bar forgotten in her hand, a strangely haunted expression on her face. "Mara," he asked, "you all right?" Her gaze shifted almost guiltily away from him. "Sure," she muttered. "I'm fine." Throwing him a quick glare, she bit viciously into her ration bar. "Okay." Closing down the lightsaber, Luke used the Force to move the newly cut thorn bushes into place on top of the others. Still, not much of a barrier, he decided. Maybe if he stretched a few of those vines between the trees. "Skywalker," he turned. "Yes?" Mara was looking up at him. "I have to ask," she said quietly. "You're the only one who knows. How did the Emperor die?" For a moment, Luke studied her face. Even in the fading light, he could see the ache in her eyes. the bitter memories of the luxuriant life and glittering future that had been snatched away from her at Endor. But alongside the ache was an equally strong determination. However badly this might hurt, she truly did want to hear it. "The Emperor was trying to turn me to the dark side," he told her, long-buried memories of his own surging painfully back again. It had nearly been him, not the Emperor, who died that day. He almost succeeded. I'd taken one swing at him and wound up fighting with Vader instead. I guess he thought that if I killed Vader in anger, I'd be open to him through the dark side. "And so, instead, you ganged up on him," she accused, her eyes flashing with sudden anger. "You turned on him, both of you." "Wait a minute," Luke protested. "I didn't attack him, not after that first swing." "What are you talking about?" she demanded. "I saw you do it. Both of you moved in against him with your lightsabers. I saw you do it." Luke stared at her, and suddenly he understood. Mara Jade, the Emperor's hand, who could hear his voice from anywhere in the galaxy. She'd been in contact with her master at the moment of his death, and had seen it all. Except that somehow she'd gotten it wrong. "I didn't move against him, Mara," he told her. "He was about to kill me when Vader picked him up and threw him down an open shaft. I couldn't have done anything even if I'd wanted to. I was still half paralyzed from the lightning bolts he'd hit me with." "What do you mean, if you'd wanted to?" Mara said scornfully. "That was the whole reason you went aboard the Death Star in the first place, wasn't it?" Luke shook his head. "No, I went there to try and turn Vader away from the dark side." Mara turned away, and Luke could sense the turmoil within her. "Why should I believe you?" she demanded at last. "Why should I lie?" he countered. "It doesn't change the fact that if I hadn't been there, Vader wouldn't have turned on him. In that sense, I'm probably still responsible for his death." "That's right. You are," Mara agreed harshly. But there was a moment of hesitation before she said it. "And I won't forget it." Luke nodded silently and waited for her to say more. But she didn't, and after a minute he turned back to the thorn bushes. "I'd go easy on those things if I were you," Mara said from behind him, her voice cool and under control again. "You don't want to trap us in an area this size if something big comes over the bushes." "Good point," Luke said, understanding both the words and the meaning beneath them. There was a job to do, and until that job was finished, she still needed Luke alive. At which point, she would have to face the destiny that had been prepared for her, or would have to choose a new one. Closing down his lightsaber, he stepped past Mara to where the others were busy setting up camp. Time to check on the droids. Chapter 17. The door to the assemblage chamber slid open, and a small flood of beings and droids began pouring out into the grand corridor, chattering among themselves in the usual spectrum of different languages. Glancing at Winter as the two of them walked toward the crowd, Leia nodded. It was showtime. "Anything else come in that I should know about?" she asked as they passed along the edge of the flow. "There was an unusual follow-up to the Pentaloman report," Winter said, her eyes flicking casually around the crowd. "A bounty hunter there claims to have penetrated the Imperial shipyards at Ord Tracy and is offering to sell us information about their new building program." "I've dealt with my share of bounty hunters," Leia said, trying not to look around the crowd as they passed through it. Winter was watching, and with her perfect memory, she would remember everyone who was close enough to overhear their conversation. What makes Colonel Derlin think we can trust him? He's not sure we can, Winter said. The smuggler offered what he said was a free sample. The information that there are three Imperial Star Destroyers within a month of completion out there. Colonel Derlin said Wing Commander Harleys is drawing up a plan to confirm that. They were out of the Grand Corridor now, following along with the handful of beings who hadn't yet split off toward offices or other conference rooms. Sounds dangerous, Leia said, dutifully running their prepared script out to the end. I hope he's not just going to do a flyby. The report didn't give any details, Winter said. But there was an addendum asking about the possibility of borrowing a freighter from someone who does business with the Empire. The last of the officials turned off into a cross corridor, leaving them alone in the hallway with an assortment of techs, assistants, admin personnel, and other low-ranking members of the New Republic government. Leia threw a quick glance at each, decided there was no point in going through another script for their benefit. Looking at Winter, she nodded again, and together the two women headed toward the turbolifts. They'd needed some place where Ghent could set up shop without word or even rumors of the project leaking out, and a search of the palace's original blueprints had found them the ideal spot. It was an old backup power cell room, closed down and sealed years earlier, wedged in between the Sector Ordnance Supply and Starfighter Command offices down on the command floor. Leia had cut a new entrance from a service corridor with her lightsaber. Bel Iblis had helped them run power cables and data lines, and Ghent had set up his decrypting program. They had everything they needed, except results. Ghent was sitting in the room's single chair when they arrived, staring dreamily off into space, with his feet propped up on the edge of his decryptor desk. They were both inside, and Winter had closed the door before he even noticed their presence. "Oh, hi," he said, dropping his feet to the floor with a muffled thud. "Not so loud, please," Leia reminded him, wincing. The officers working on the other sides of the thin walls would probably ascribe any stray noises to the adjacent offices. But then again, they might not. "Has General Bel Iblis brought the latest transmissions in yet?" she asked. "Yeah, about an hour ago," Ghent nodded, whispering almost inaudibly now. "I just finished slicing them." He tapped a key, and a series of decrypted messages came up on the display. Leia stepped up behind his chair, reading down them. Details of upcoming military deployments, what seemed to be verbatim transcriptions of high-level diplomatic conversations, tidbits of idle palace gossip. As always, Delta Source had covered the whole range, from the significant to the trivial. "There's one of ours," Winter said, touching a spot on the display. Leia read the item. An unconfirmed intelligence report from the Bafash system, suggesting that the Chimera and its support ships had been spotted near Ankaron. That was one of theirs, all right. "How many heard that one?" she asked Winter. "Only 47, Winter told her, already busy with Ghent's datapad. "It was just before 3 yesterday afternoon, during the second assembly session, and the Grand Corridor was fairly empty." Leia nodded and turned back to the display. By the time Winter had finished her list, she'd identified 2 more of their decoy messages. By the time Winter had finished those, she'd found another 5. "Looks like that's it," she said, as Winter handed Ghent her first 3 lists and got to work on the others. "Let's go ahead and run these through your sifter." "Okay," Ghent said, throwing one last look of awe at Winter before turning back to his console. 3 days into this scheme, He still hadn't gotten over the way she could remember every single detail of 50 separate one-minute conversations. Okay, let's see. Correlations. Okay. We're down to 127 possibilities. Mostly techs and admin types, looks like. Some off-world diplomats, too. Leia shook her head. None of those are likely to have access to all of this information, she said, waving at the decrypt display. It has to be someone considerably higher up the command structure. Wait a minute, Gent interrupted, raising a finger. You want a big fish? You got one. Consular Sion Tev of Sullust. Leia frowned at the display. That's impossible. He was one of the earliest leaders in the Rebel Alliance. In fact, I think he was the one who brought Neen Numb and his private raiding squad over to us after the Empire forced them out of the Sullust system. Gent shrugged. I don't know anything about that. All I know is that he heard all 15 of those little teasers that wound up on Delta Source's transmitter. It can't be Counselor Tev, Winter spoke up absently, still working at the data pad. He wasn't present during any of these last 6 conversations. Maybe one of his aides heard it, Gent offered. He didn't have to be there personally. Winter shook her head. No. One of his aides was present, but only for one of these conversations. More importantly, Counselor Tev was present for 2 conversations the day before yesterday that Delta Source didn't transmit, 9:15 in the morning and 2:48 in the afternoon. Gent keyed up the relevant list. You're right, he confirmed. Didn't think about checking things that direction. Guess I'd better work up a better sifter program. Behind Leia, their makeshift door swung open, and she turned to see Bal Iblis come in. Thought I'd find you here, he nodded to Leia. We're about ready to give the Stardust plan its first try, if you want to come and watch. The latest scheme to locate the swarm of cloaked asteroids Thrawn had left in orbit around Coruscant. Yes, I do, Leia said. Winter, I'll be in the war room when you're finished here. Yes, Your Highness. Leia and Bal Iblis left the room and headed single file down the service corridor. Find anything yet? The general asked over his shoulder. Winter's still running yesterday's list, Leia told him. So far, we've got around 130 possibilities. Bal Iblis nodded. Considering how many of us there are working in the palace, I'd say that qualifies as progress. Maybe, she hesitated. It's occurred to me that this scheme will only work if Delta Source is a single person. If it's a whole group, we may not be able to weed them out this way. Perhaps, Bal Iblis agreed. But I have a hard time believing we could have that many traitors here. Matter of fact, I still have trouble believing we have even one. I've always thought that Delta Source might be some kind of exotic recording system, something security simply hasn't been able to locate yet. I've watched them do counterintelligence sweeps, Leia said. I can't think how they could possibly have missed anything. Unfortunately, neither can I. They arrived in the war room to find General Raikan and Admiral Drayson standing behind the main command console. Princess, Raikan greeted her gravely, you're just in time. Leia looked up at the master visual. An old transport had left the group of ships standing guard in far orbit and was making its careful way down toward the planet. How far in is it going to come? Leia asked. We're going to start just above the planetary shield, Counselor, Grayson told her. The post-battle analysis indicates that most of the cloaked asteroids probably wound up in low orbit. Leia nodded. And since those would be the ones most likely to sneak through if they opened the shield, it made all the more sense to start there. Slowly, moving with the tentative awkwardness of a ship under remote control, the transport came closer in. "All right," Drayson said. "Transport One Control, cut drive and prepare to dump on my command. Ready? Dump." For a moment, nothing happened. Then, abruptly, a cloud of brilliant dust began to billow from the aft end of the transport, swirling around lazily in the ship's wake. "Keep it coming," Thrason said. "Harrier, stand by negative ion beams." "All dust is clear of the transport, Admiral," one of the officers reported. "Transport One Control, pull her away," Drayson ordered. "But slowly," Bell Iblis murmured, "we don't want to carve exhaust grooves through the dust." Drayson threw an annoyed look back at him. "Take it nice and slow," he said grudgingly. "Do we have any readings yet?" "Coming in very strong, sir," the officer at the sensor console reported. "Between 0.93 and 0.98 reflection on all bands." "Good." Drayson nodded. "Keep a sharp eye on it. Harrier?" "Harrier reports ready, sir," another officer confirmed. "Fire negative ion beam," Drayson ordered. "Lowest intensity. Let's see how this works." Leia peered up at the visual. The shimmering dust particles were beginning to clump together as ions from the departing transport's drive created random electrostatic charges throughout the cloud. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the hazy line of an ion beam appear on the master tactical display and sweep across the cloud, charging all the dust particles with the same polarity so that they would repel each other. And suddenly, the coalescing dust cloud was expanding again, spreading out across the visual display like the opening of some exotic flower. "Cease fire," Drayson said. "Let's see if that does it." For a long minute, the flower continued to open, and Leia found herself staring intently at the hazy glitter. Unreasonably, of course. Given how much space there was out there, it was highly unlikely that this first dump would happen to be in the path of any of the orbiting asteroids. And even if it was, there still would be nothing for her to see on the visual. Except at the moment before its collapse. The cloaking shield seemed to twist light and sensor beams perfectly around itself, which meant there would be no dark spot cutting visibly through the dust. "Cloud's starting to break up, Admiral," the sensor officer reported. "Dissipation ratio is up to 12. "Solar winds catching it," Raikan muttered. "As expected," Drayson reminded him. "Transport 2 Control, go ahead and launch." A second transport emerged from among the orbiting ships and headed down toward the surface. "This is definitely the slow way to do this," Bell Iblis commented quietly. "Agreed," Raikan said. "I wish they hadn't lost that CGT array of yours out at Svivrin. We sure could have used it here." Leia nodded. Crystal grav field traps, originally designed to zoom in on the mass of sensor stealth ships from thousands of kilometers away, would be ideal for this job. "I thought intelligence had a lead on another one." "They've got leads on 3, Raikan said. "Problem is, they're all in Imperial space." "I'm still not convinced a CGT would do us all that much good here," Bell Iblis said. "This close in, I suspect that Coruscant's gravity would swamp any readings we got from the asteroids." "It would be tricky, no doubt about that," Raikan agreed. "But I think it's our best chance." They fell silent as, on the visual, the second transport reached its target zone and repeated the procedure of the first. Again, nothing. That solar wind is going to be a real nuisance, Bel Iblis commented as the third transport headed out. We may want to consider going with larger dust particles on the next batch. Or shifting operations to the night side, Raikan suggested. That would at least cut back the effect. Turbulence, the sensor officer barked. Vector 117, bearing 492. There was a mad scramble for the sensor console. At the very edge of the still-expanding second dust cloud, a hazy orange line had appeared, marking the turbulence created by the invisible asteroid's passage. Get a track on it, Drayson ordered. Harrier, fire at will. On the visual, red lines lanced out as the dreadnought's turbolasers began to sweep across the projected path. Leia watched the visual, hands gripping the sensor officer's chair back. And suddenly, there it was, a misshapen lump of rock drifting slowly across the stars. Cease fire, Drayson ordered. Well done, gentlemen. All right, Allegiant, it's your turn. Get your tech crew out there. He broke off. On the visual, a mesh of thin lines had appeared crisscrossing the dark bulk of the asteroid. For a brief moment, they flared brilliantly, then faded away. Belay that order, Allegiant, Drayson growled. Looks like the Grand Admiral doesn't want anyone else getting a look at his little toys. At least we found one of them, Leia said. That's something. Right, Raikan said dryly. Leaves just under 300 to go. Leia nodded again and started to turn away. This was going to take a while, and she might as well get back to Winter and Ghent. Collision, the sensor officer snapped. She twisted back. On the visual, the third transport was spinning wildly off course, its stern crushed and on fire, its cargo of dust spraying out in all directions. Can you get a track? Drayson demanded. The officer's hands were skating across his board. Negative. Insufficient data. All I can do is a probability cone. I'll take it, Drayson said. All ships, open fire. Full pattern bombardment. Target cone as indicated. The cone had appeared on the tactical, and from the distant fleet, turbolaser fire began to appear. Open the cone to 50% probability, Drayson ordered. Battle stations, you take the outer cone. I want that target found. The encouragement was unnecessary. The space above Coruscant had become a firestorm, with turbolaser blasts and proton torpedoes cutting through the marked probability cone. The target zone stretched and expanded as the computers calculated the invisible asteroid's possible paths, the ships and battle stations shifting aim and response. But there was nothing there, and after a few minutes, Drayson finally conceded defeat. All units cease fire, he said, his voice tired. There's no more point. We've lost it. There didn't seem to be anything else to be said. In silence, they stood and watched as the crippled transport, far out of range of the fleet's tractor beams, spun slowly toward the planetary shield and its impending death. Its crushed stern skimmed the shield, and the fire of burning drive gases was joined by the sharp blue-white edge of shattered atomic bonds. A muffled flash as the stern broke away. A brighter flash as the bow hit the shield. Scatterings of dark debris against the flame as the hull began to break up. And, with a final spattering of diffuse fire, it was gone. Leia watched the last flickers fade away, running through her Jedi calming exercises and forcing the anger from her mind. Allowing herself the luxury of hating Thrawn for doing this to them would only fog her own intellect. Worse, such hatred would be a perilous step toward the dark side. There was a breath of movement at her shoulder, and she turned to see Winter at her side. The other woman was gazing up at the visual, a look of ancient pain deep in her eyes. "It's all right," Leia assured her. "There wasn't anyone aboard."
"I know," Winter murmured. "I was thinking about another transport I saw go down like that over Zyquine, a passenger transport."
She took a deep breath, and Leia could see the conscious effort as she put her always vivid past away from her.
"I'd like to speak with you, Your Highness, whenever you're finished here."
Leia reached out past Winter's carefully neutral expression and touched her sense. Whatever the news was, it wasn't good.
"I'll come now," she said.
They left the war room and circled back past the turbolifts to the service corridor and their secret decrypt room. And the news was indeed not good.
"This can't be," Leia said, shaking her head as she reread Ghent's analysis. "We know there's a leak in the palace."
"I've checked it backwards, forwards, and from the inside out," Ghent said. "It comes up the same every time. Feed in everyone who heard and didn't hear the stuff Delta Source sent out. Feed in everyone who heard or didn't hear the stuff Delta Source didn't send out, and you come out with the same answer every time. A straight, flat zero."
Leia keyed the datapad for a replay and watched as the list of names dwindled with each sifting until it was gone.
"Then Delta Source has to be more than one person," she said.
"I already ran that," Ghent said, waving his hands helplessly. "It doesn't work either. You wind up having to have at least 15 people. Your security here can't be that bad."
"Then he's picking and choosing what he transmits, sending some of what he hears, but not all of it."
Ghent scratched at his cheek.
"I suppose that could be it," he said reluctantly. "I don't know, though. You look at some of the really stupid stuff he sent. I mean, there was one in that last transmission that was nothing but a couple of Arcona talking about what one of them was gonna name her hatchlings. Either this guy doesn't remember too good, or else he's got a really weird priority list."
The door opened, and Leia turned as Bell Iblis stepped in.
"I saw you leave," the general said. "Have you found something?"
Wordlessly, Leia handed him the datapad. Bell Iblis glanced over it, then read it through more carefully.
"Interesting," he said at last. "Either the analysis is wrong, or Winter's memory is starting to fail her, or Delta Source is on to us."
"How do you figure that?" Leia asked.
"Because he's clearly no longer transmitting everything he hears," Bell Iblis said. "Something must have aroused his suspicions."
Leia thought back to all those staged conversations.
"No," she said slowly. "I don't believe it. I never picked up even a hint of malice or suspicion."
Bell Iblis shrugged.
"The alternative is to believe we have a whole spy nest here."
"Wait a minute, though. This isn't quite as bad as it sounds. If we assume he didn't catch on right away, we should still be able to use the data from the first 2 days to cut the suspect list down to a manageable number."
Leia felt her stomach tighten.
"Garm, we're talking about over 100 trusted members of the New Republic here. We can't go around accusing that many people of treason. Consular Phalia's accusations against Admiral Akbar were bad enough. This would be orders of magnitude worse."
"I know that, Leia," Bell Iblis said firmly. "But we can't let the Empire continue to listen in on our secrets. Offer me an alternative, and I'll take it."
Leia bit at her lip, her mind racing.
"What about that comment you made on the way to the war room?" she asked. "You said you thought Delta Source might be nothing but an exotic recording system. If it is, it's somewhere in the Grand Corridor, Winter said before Bel Iblis could answer. That's where all the conversations that were transmitted took place.
Are you sure? Bel Iblis frowned.
Absolutely, Winter said. Every one.
That's it, then, Leia said, feeling the first stirrings of excitement. Somehow, someone's planted a recording system in the Grand Corridor.
Don't get excited, Bel Iblis cautioned.
I know it sounds good, but it's not that easy. Microphone systems have certain well-defined characteristics, all of which are quite well known and can be readily picked up by a competent counterintelligence sweep.
Unless it goes dormant when counterintelligence comes by, Gent suggested. I've seen systems that do that.
Bel Iblis shook his head. But then you're talking something with at least minimal decision-making capabilities. Anything that close to droid-level intelligence would...
Hey! Gent interrupted excitedly. That's it. Delta Source isn't a person. It's a droid.
Leia looked at Bel Iblis.
Is that possible?
I don't know, the general said slowly. Implanting secondary espionage programming in a droid is certainly feasible.
The problem is how to get that programming in past the palace's usual security procedures, and then avoiding the counterintelligence sweeps.
It would have to be a droid that has a good reason to hang around the Grand Corridor, Leia said, trying to think it through. But who can also leave without attracting notice whenever a sweep gets underway?
And given the sort of high-level traffic that passes through the Grand Corridor, those sweeps are pretty frequent, Bel Iblis agreed.
Gent, can you get into security's records and pull a list of sweep times over the past 3 or 4 days?
Sure, the kid shrugged. Probably take me a couple of hours, though, unless you don't care if they spot me.
Bel Iblis looked at Leia. What do you think?
We certainly don't want him to get caught, Leia said. On the other hand, we don't want to give Delta Source free rein of the palace any longer than we have to.
Your Highness, Winter asked.
Pardon me, but it seems to me that if the sweeps are that frequent, all we need to do is watch the Grand Corridor until one gets underway, and then see which droids leave.
It's worth a try, Bel Iblis said. Kent, you get started on security. Leia, Winter, let's go.
They're coming,
Winter's voice came softly from the comlink nestled in Leia's palm.
You're sure they're palace security? Bel Iblis' voice said.
Yes, Winter said. I've seen Colonel Bremen giving them orders, and they have droids and equipment with them.
Sounds like this is it, Leia murmured, surreptitiously raising her hand near her mouth, and hoping the three Kubas sitting across the lounge conversation ring from her wouldn't notice the odd behavior. This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.